Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everybody to the 110 Nation. Wow, so used to saying the 110 Nation Sports Show. I want to welcome everybody to 110 Nation Presents the Fantasy Show. I will be joined in about 10 minutes. I'll be joined from the guys from PPR Fantasy Talk. Chet and Kevin will be joining us tonight, and we're going to basically kind of go over our busts and studs of last week in the fantasy world, and then get ourselves prepared as here we are just 24 hours removed from week 5 of the NFL. And an interesting game is Minnesota and Green Bay will do battle. And normally I wouldn't have considered Minnesota even into this game, But after watching Minnesota do what they did last weekend, I guess all bets are off the table. So looking forward to be joined by the guys over at PPR Fantasy Talk. If you've not had a chance to follow them yet, make sure you guys jump over there on Twitter to at PPR Fantasy Talk. Once they hit 1,000 follows, they are giving away a free PPR Fantasy Talk sweatshirt, a hoodie sweatshirt. So I know when they started coming on the show, I started noticing they were in the low sevens. Now they're getting closer to 900. I know they're in the eighth something yesterday. So make sure that you guys, if you did not have the opportunity, get over there and like them or follow them so you get an opportunity to possibly win the hoodie. I got to make sure that I throw out our stuff real quick. Make sure you follow myself at CJ Sports One. Follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. I got to make sure that I thank Monterey's Mexican Restaurants. You can find them at 173 Westwood Shopping Center, Fayetteville, North Carolina. Let them know the 110 Nation sent you 10% off your bill. I also got to thank TopVet.com, Digital Throttle, Optimal Fusion, Peak Products. I got to thank Yard Barker. And I got to make sure that I do a... I make sure that I do a really big shout-out for NASCAR In Gear. They're one of our partners, and they have done many things. They gave me the opportunity to go to the Coca-Cola 600. They gave me an opportunity to write for NASCAR.com. A few weeks ago, they gave me the opportunity to go to a Chip Ganassi Sound Garage event. And it was a meet-and-greet with the drivers and had some artists, Cassidy Pope being the artist. And today they gave me the opportunity to go down to the NASCAR Hall of Fame and do a media day with the 12 contenders still left in the chase. I had a very good time. It was a nice trip. It was a good time. Got to talk to all of them, but Dale Jr., he was the only one not in attendance. So 11 of the 12 chase drivers were there. Had a great time. Went ahead and sealed my place in going to Martinsville here in a few weeks. Get to go to a different track because I've been to Charlotte twice already this year. Been to Daytona, Kentucky, Bristol. Had the opportunity to go to Atlanta. Things didn't work out, and they were trying to send me back to Charlotte, but that wouldn't work around the schedule. But Sunday afternoon race would, and we had Talladega and Martinsville. Martinsville was a lot closer. So looking forward to going to Martinsville for the first time. Looking forward to that and looking forward to having the opportunity to work with NASCAR once again. So great, great time. If you guys missed last night's show, we had Mason Mitchell, the ARCA Series point leader. He was on last night. You missed a great time. And then Monday night we had Sam Edwards, driver slash co-host. Had a really, really great time with him as well. Looking forward to a lot of great things coming up. Make sure that if you guys have not checked out our site, go over to www.110nationsports.com. Just completed our third month in a row of a record-setting pace. I got to, first of all, thank the writers over there. I got to thank everybody that helped share and liked everything that's going on over at 110nationsports.com. And I also got to thank the readers for going over there. And not only are we setting new records every month, we're even going above. I set my goal above our record, so I have something higher to shoot for. That way, if I don't hit my goal, at least we are setting a new record, and we're even blowing the gold out the water. So looking forward to seeing how this month plays out. Looking forward to hopefully continuously growing in the pace that we have. Every quarter, we have gone up in viewership over 30%. So I got to thank everybody that's made that possible. Also, if you're interested in joining the 110 Nation, if you're a very passionate, loyal, dedicated writer, and you would like the opportunity to put your work on the national stage, as we are syndicated through Yard Barker, owned by Fox Sports, owned by MSN, ran by Fox Sports, get a lot of national attention with a lot of the articles that we have written over our site. Or maybe you want to co-host or host a show. Or maybe you're one of those people that are better behind the scene. PR work is our PR lady. Definitely could use a second hand. Or maybe you want to, you're good with marketing. We could definitely use somebody in the marketing, or maybe you are a social media guru. Maybe you sit around, tweet all day long, do updates all day long, and you would like to help make our presence on the social media world better. Hit me up, MrCJSports@gmail.com. I would love to have the opportunity to get to talk to you and see about bringing you on with our company. Also, if you're interested in coming on the show, I know Ms. Lee has got people scheduled two out of the three days next week already. But if you're interested in coming on the show, all you got to do is hit up Ms. Lee. You can hit her up at the email of Lee, that's LEE_110Nation@yahoo.com. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete, part of some kind of athletic organization, some kind of team. Maybe you have your own show or site and you want to come on and promote it and talk sports. Or maybe you got some kind of charity event going on or some kind of foundation. You want to get it out there, as we are very, very highly, highly involved with a bunch of different charities, such as More Than Just Me, raising money for cystic fibrosis, the Cape Beard Guys, as we help them raise money for autism and breast cancer awareness, with Dylan Martin Racing out of Florida, who we've helped them turn in soda tabs. As a matter of fact, we took 66 pounds of soda tabs down to Florida when I went down to Florida for the July 4th weekend race down in Daytona to help raise money for the Shriners Hospital. We're constantly involved with a bunch of different different foundations and charities, and we would love to help get your foundation, your foundation, whatever you have going on out, get it out there to help spread the word, to help get more attention to what you have going on. Like I said, all you do is hit up Ms. Lee, that's LEE_110Nation@yahoo.com. She would love to have you come on the show, and we would love to have a great time with you, as we do every time. Also, don't forget, tomorrow is the debut of 110 Nation Presents Q&A with Mr. CJ Sports. I want to take questions that have been sent to me and questions out there in the sporting world, and put my honest, truthful, maybe a slight comical, and maybe not the most popular answer out there. And we're going to do that from 12 to 1. And there's a lot of questions that get constantly asked from a day-to-day basis out there that nobody just seems to answer, or nobody cares to answer. So I'm looking forward to having that opportunity to do that from 12 to 1 tomorrow, and have a great time with that. And looking forward to doing something a little bit different out of the usual. And, of course, like I said, tonight we got the fantasy show going on. I love doing this show. It's become the highlight of my week, having the opportunity to be able to talk to these guys, be able to talk just strictly fantasy football, and just really back and enjoy these guys' company, and be able to talk what happened last week, and what is going on in the fantasy world. And it never ceased to amaze me how much this whole fantasy sports stuff has really taken over the sporting world. I can remember being 15, 16 years old and doing my first fantasy league. And I mean, this is how far back it was. We didn't have these apps. We didn't have ESPN Fantasy Football and Yahoo Fantasy Football. We had the typewriter and newspaper, and that was basically the extent of where you got your stats from and how you printed up your stats. There was no there was no computers, there was no apps, there was no trackers, there was no none of this stuff. And to see it go from people, pens and paper and calculators and typewriters, to what we're seeing in the fantasy world today, and the impact that it has on the sport, and a lot of people out there feel that that's how teams draft and how players get played sometimes, based on fantasy points and making money that way. It's definitely been something that has been in the works for a long time, and it's crazy how much this has taken over, and how much money is, you know, going from hand to hand playing fantasy league. Now, I did a fantasy league last year. I didn't get the opportunity to do it this year. I mean, I had the opportunity, but I'm not one for doing free leagues. I'm always for doing paid leagues and finances situation with the unemployment made it impossible for me to do a fantasy league. But last year I lost just two games. Those two games were bye weeks that I just screwed up and didn't change my players around. It was really my fault. But I had the most points. I ended up taking the league. Had a great time with it. Cleared the house, cleaned the bank out of it. And really enjoyed it. So I do have an extensive fantasy background, maybe not to the experience of the guys from PPR Fantasy Talk that we're getting ready to get on here in just a second. But I do have some fantasy background, as I've done NFL fantasy football, I've done fantasy baseball, and I've done a little bit of fantasy basketball as well. So it has become a pleasurable hobby. So what better way to kick off the Wednesday night, get ourselves prepared for the NFL week, than be able to sit 60 minutes and talk fantasy football and talk football, period, really. Before they call in, as they should be calling any second, I do participate in football pools now. I went ahead and put out my picks last night, and for those that didn't catch the show last night, I want to go over my picks real quick as we get ready for week three. We got Minnesota and Green Bay playing tomorrow night. I do have the Green Bay Packers at home, even though Minnesota kind of awed us and shocked us with a victory last weekend. I don't see that repeating in Green Bay on Lambeau Field. I just don't see that happening. So I did go with the Green Bay Packers. I have Dallas, believe it or not, over the Houston Texans. I think the deciding factor for me was Ryan Fitzpatrick. No, I'm not a Romo fan, for those that are new to the show. As a matter of fact, I don't really like any other team except for my Cleveland Browns. But I can appreciate the situation in Dallas. I can appreciate that a lot of blame is thrown on a Tony Romo, even though defensively should be more the Dallas Cowboys. Buffalo, Detroit, I did have Detroit. I just like that the Detroit offense. I just think there's a lot of weapons. Plus, I am not sold on Kyle Orton being your quarterback. The Cleveland and Tennessee game, I had to flip the coin on that. Cleveland lost all three of their games by a field goal. Or, I'm sorry, they lost the two games, but all three of the games have come down to a field goal. Cleveland, even though they're 1-2, have been very impressive so far at the start of the season. I think that they can handle Tennessee. I have Baltimore going into Indianapolis and beating the Colts. I just think there's something about this Colts team. They have a lot of weapons. As long as Joe Flacco does not go on one of those binges where he throws a lot of interceptions, I just don't see Baltimore losing to the Indianapolis Colts. I got Tampa Bay and New Orleans is the next game. I got the New Orleans Saints winning at home. I got Atlanta over Giants in New York. I got Philadelphia at home against St. Louis. I got Carolina at home against Chicago. I got Pittsburgh going into Jacksonville and winning. I got Denver at home against Arizona, which should be a very good game. Got San Diego at home over the Jets. I got San Francisco over the Chiefs. And, there's a lot to say for the San Francisco 49ers defense, as they did not allow the Eagles to score a single point. And with all the weaknesses and the offense not really clicking on all cylinders, that defense really showed up this last week. And even though Kansas City really put a hurting on the New England Patriots, I have enough confidence that the 49ers can win it at home. I got Cincinnati, believe it or not, and I know this is not going to be a popular decision by the guys that are getting ready to join me. They are from the Boston area, but I do have the Cincinnati Bengals going into New England and beating the New England Patriots, and then I have Seattle at Washington. Feel very confident in what that Seattle offense can do and how efficient that Seattle defense has been against this Washington Redskins. Those were my picks for this week, as I'm trying to get this rebooted real quick, and then we're going to get you on. For some reason, I lost the Spreecast side, so I want to get everybody booted back up. I want to welcome, I'm not sure which one this is, but one of the guys from the PPR Fantasy Talk. Who am I speaking with tonight?
This is Kevin.
Kevin, how are you doing tonight, Kevin?
Good, how are you?
I can't complain. As always, I want to give you an opportunity real quick to plug your guys' social media, the Twitter. I don't remember if you guys are in anything else. I know you guys are not on Facebook quite yet, but I want to give you guys the opportunity, or give you an opportunity to place, put out your social media and your site and talk about it for a second as we get ready to go ahead and do this as we do every Wednesday.
So, we've been on the last 3 weeks. Our social media info is PPR Fantasy Talk, so you can follow us at PPR Fantasy Talk. The website is www.pprfantasytalk.com. For anyone who hasn't been on there, we just do we'll write blogs about certain players. We'll have rankings. We do a wife of the week, so we pick a player and write about his wife pretty much. So this week we had Matthew Stafford's wife or fiance on there. So this week we'll have the rankings up for the week, our weekly rankings at each position up by tomorrow night's game. And then we'll also have our cheap FanDuel plays uploaded either tomorrow or Friday.
Do we have Chet as well? Is that who I just plugged
in? Yeah, Chet, okay. Chet's here.
All right, just making sure I was just plugging somebody that I knew who it was on there.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. The privilege and the honor is definitely all mine. I definitely have gotten to the point that I really, really enjoy, and I just pulled up Matthew Stafford's fiance, and yeah, she is definitely fantasy wife of the big party. it definitely became one of my favorite shows of the week, so it's definitely an honor. First of all, we're going to start off, as we always do, since you guys are from the Boston area. We're going to start off the show tonight with what the heck happened to the New England Patriots this weekend, first of all. And second of all, is this what fantasy owners have been waiting on when it comes to Jamaal Charles?
Yeah, I'll start. The Patriots looked atrocious. It was pretty hard to watch. I think it's a factor of a bunch of different things. First off, our offensive line. We were starting, three new linemen that game. Our offensive line is in shambles. There's a play where the play where Brady got sacked and stripped, that guy got in pretty much untouched in, like, under 3 seconds. He also has no weapons. If you just cover Edelman, he has got no one to throw to. Gronk's still being limited, so the snaps he's in, he's getting targeted almost like 50% of the snaps he's in. So it's tough for Brady right now. It looks like it's all Brady's fault, which he's definitely digressed a little bit, but at the same time, they just don't have the weapons. They don't have the offensive line. They got to go out and get him a lineman or a receiver or something. The one bright side, I guess, is Brandon LaFell looked a little bit better. He had a good game. He was like the only player that actually looked good. I agree with you. I think the Bengals are going to come in and beat us this coming week, and I'm actually going to the game, so it's going to be pretty rough. But about Charles, I think this is the Jamaal Charles we've been waiting for. He's the centerpiece of that offense. Everything revolves around Jamaal Charles. Passing game, running game, it's all Charles. Now that he's fully healthy, I expect to see what he did last game almost every week. Maybe not the 3 touchdowns, but he's going to get the touches. He gets the goal line looks, whether it's running it in or catching it. But, yeah, he looks awesome. That's why he was pretty much the consensus number one pick in all these leagues. He's the top back.
Now, with Jamaal Charles and them going into Levi Stadium this week, and they play in the 49ers defense, and this 49ers defense didn't allow any points. Even though the scoreboard said 21, that was nothing to do with that defense. For those that have Jamaal Charles on their fantasy team coming up in week 5, how cautious do you have to be on, especially the FanDuel guys that are going and playing the weekly and have the opportunity or contemplating whether or not to get Jamaal Charles, how cautious you got to be with the 49ers defense that we're not quite sure. And like I said, this week they didn't allow anything. They didn't allow the Eagles to do really anything at all. And then until that last, basically the last drive, and they almost had just as many yards in the one drive as they had in the complete game going up to that point.
Yeah.
And then also, with the 49ers defense having the injuries and the suspensions they have, Is there a concern on whether or not you go out and get Jamal Charles if you're doing a fan duel, or do you start Jamal Charles or take that risk if maybe you have another strong back on a regular league that you might have somebody on the bench that might be available that might be playing an easier team?
Yeah, I guess I'll check those.
I'm sorry, Kev. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think for FanDuel purposes, I'm not playing Charles. He's pretty expensive still, and you can get better value. Like, you could get LeSean McCoy at, like, I think he's 8,200, or you just spend the money on DeMarco Murray, who's honestly becoming, like, a must-start. He's, like, getting, I think, plus at least 15 points or higher every week. But if you have Jamal Charles in your in a regular fantasy league, you have to play him. The 49ers are known for their run defense, so he's not going to run for a lot, I don't think. But he will catch passes out of the backfield, dump off. He's still going to get his points, especially in PPR leagues. So you can't sit Jamal Charles this week. But I wouldn't go after him in FanDuel. I think he can get better options, and I'll let Chet say what he thinks too.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much agree with Kev on this one. You know, I could see him maybe breaking a couple plays. For the majority of it, I think his points will probably come from receptions. I could see him catching upwards of 8 to 10 balls. You know, he could go anywhere in that range. Running room is always tough to come by in San Fran, but we did see DeMarco Murray steamroll them week one. But, of course, he steamrolled everyone. So, you know, you don't really know what to expect. I think Andy Reid did a good job getting him out in space against New England. But, yeah, as far as daily fantasy is concerned, I think there's better options for the money, like Kev said, DeMarco Murray. I even would bank on LeSean McCoy in a bounce back. But, yeah, if he's on your team, you're not benching him.
And that was going to be my next point with the Philadelphia Eagles. As LeSean McCoy tried to – and they tried to give him his touches, and he just could not get through that defensive line. And to be all fairness, the 49ers did not have a lot of success running the ball either. But this has been a couple weeks now that we've seen LeSean McCoy, even though he's got the touches, he is not getting the yardage. They are going up against a St. Louis team, depending on who you talk to. Some feel that St. Louis defense is pretty good. Some of them, as they're sitting at the bottom of their division, would like to argue otherwise. But I feel that they have a pretty stable defense. Is LeSean McCoy a guy that we're wanting to mess with at all again this week, or do we need to wait to see him actually be productive before we start thinking about putting LeSean McCoy back in our lineup or start drafting in the FanDuels?
Yeah, I would. I think he bounces back this week. He started off the season great, going up against Jacksonville and Indy, who both have a really poor rush defense. But then he went up against Washington, who actually has a really good rush defense. A lot of people don't realize like how good it is. I mean, he had 19 carries for 22 yards against them. And then San Fran is like they're probably top best run defenses in the league. So I think he bounces back against St. Louis. The one thing with the Eagles is they're also suffering. Their offensive line didn't look good at all. Nick Foles had no time. And the whole way the Eagles' offense revolves around, it revolves around the run game. If they can't establish the run, they're screwed. I mean, they're all about running, dump offs, little things like that. So if they can't get McCoy going or even Sproles going, they're in trouble. So I think he bounces back. He might be in a little trouble this week going against the Rams, just because the Rams do have a good defensive line, one of the best in the league. But I still think he's too good of a running back to be held down. I think he bounces back. And for 8,300, it's cheaper for a top running back. For a really elite running back, it's not a bad price on FanDuel. And obviously you have to play him in your fantasy league. So I'll let Chip take it.
Yeah, you know, I got Shady going for $180 and a touchdown. So I say start him. Get him in there.
Wow, bold.
Now, another running back, since we're still talking about running backs, DeMarco Murray, and you guys are high on him, and for obvious reasons, as he's been very productive. Is there any concern against this Houston defense, who has been pretty good to this point? They might not be a top three, top five kind of defense, but they have been pretty good scoring points, as we watched J.J. Watts have an 80-yard pick six. I mean, who at that size outruns a whole team other than J.J. Watts? But should we expect the same at home with DeMarco Murray as we have been seeing, or can this Houston defense slow down DeMarco Murray for fantasy points this week?
I expect Murray to run all over him. Rashard Jennings, when he faced Houston, he ran for 170 yards. I think Murray's going to absolutely dominate. The Cowboys finally understand that they have to run the ball to win. So I think he's going to absolutely dominate. I think he's easily, in my eyes, the number one back this week, and I think Chet would probably agree.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he has at least 100 yards rushing and a touchdown in every single game. I expect that trend to continue. You know, he's running behind arguably the best offensive line in the league. They're young, they're talented, they're athletic. Three of them, I believe, are first-round draft picks. You know, even when he's got no hole, he's big enough and strong enough to create his own. He's got almost a little Adrian Peterson in him, so there's no stopping him. The only thing that can stop him now is an injury. He's a must-start. He's in must-start territory for sure.
Now, you brought up this Washington defense being a really good rush defense. Marshawn Lynch goes against this Washington defense at FedEx Field on Monday night. Will this be a point-producing night for Marshawn Lynch, or is this going to be more of the air game that's going to be getting the points, and should we stay away from Marshawn Lynch?
I'll let Chet take it.
I believe Seattle's going to win this one in dominant fashion, and their skill players, I don't think there's – I wouldn't fade any of them. If I got Marshawn Lynch, I'm playing him. I actually got a couple FanDuel lineups that include him. I think he's pretty much, I don't want to say matchup proof, but he's as close as it gets at the running back position to matchup proof. He's got an excellent team, an excellent line. They can run, they can pass, and if you got beast mode, you're playing him. I don't think you can fade him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think Washington's going to be able to move the ball. That's the one issue. Their rush defense can be as good as they want, but I don't think they're going to be able to move the ball. And with Seattle crushing them, I think they're just going to pound it on the ground. And he's going to get at least, I think he gets two scores. He might not run for that many yards, but I think he gets two scores this week. He's matchup proof. I mean, that whole offense revolves around him. I don't see any week where you'd ever want to bait him.
I have one more running back I want to throw out there, then I'll let you guys throw out any running backs before we switch positions. Matt Forte, going against this Carolina Panthers defense, was one of the best last year. Started off the season very good. The last two games have kind of been shaky, and they've taken a couple of defeats. Will Matt Forte have a day in the sun in Carolina, or will it be a dark, gloomy kind of afternoon for Matt Forte?
I have Matt Forte on my fantasy team, actually, and he hasn't got a touchdown yet, but in PPR, he's been good because he gets so many catches. So in PPR, he's definitely, I think, going to have a good day. I mean, he's targeted so much. And Carolina's defense looks honestly awful. I don't know what happened. I don't know how they became. I don't know what. I honestly just don't understand how they've gone downhill so quickly, but they haven't looked good. And I think Forte gets his first touchdown this week. Last week, he ran for a ton of yards. I think he had like 130 yards, but Jay Cutler, the bum he is, kept turning the ball over and prevented Forte and all of his red zone opportunities. But I think Forte this week, I think he can get 100 yards, and I think he's going to get a TD this week. He's too good of a running back not to, and he's going to get his catches. So I love Matt Forte. I love him this week.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree with Kev here. He's overdue for a touchdown. He's going to get his looks. He's going to get his catches. You got a banged-up Brandon Marshall. That's also going to play into it. If Marshall sits, you know Forte is going to get 12, 10 targets. Of course, Alshon Jeffery is going to demand some targets as well. But, you know, I think Forte is a top five running back play this week, regardless of the defense he's playing against. And like you said, Carolina's regressed defensively. They still have some talent on that side of the ball. But if you got Forte, you know, you got to feel confident heading into this week. So I definitely will be targeting him on FanDuel as well.
And any other running backs that we've not had the opportunity to run through that you guys would like to throw out there, maybe a sleeper or somebody maybe y'all feel that maybe has done good the last few weeks that maybe we need to stay away from this week, or anything else that y'all would like to put out there on the running back topic?
I guess I'll start.
For me,
I like Reggie Bush this week if Joey Bell's out. Definitely, because he got a concussion, so he might be out. So Reggie Bush could be a good start against Buffalo if he's getting all the attention. And then my other one's Thursday night, especially for FanDuel, cheap play, Jerick McKinnon. He looks like an absolute freak of nature. He's a lot of people might – if you're a big fantasy guy, you heard of him, but if you're not, you probably don't know who he is. He's a rookie. He was, a second-round pick out of some university in Georgia, not a main – it was a kind of a no-name college, but – he's a freak athlete. He ran like a 4.340, and he got the most bench press out of all the running backs at the combine this year. And he ran really well last week. He's a much better athlete than the starter, Asiata. Asiata just got the touchdowns, but McKinnon is a much better runner, and he still can be the goal line guy because he's small and bulky, almost like a Maurice Jones-Drew type guy. So I like him in FanDuel. He's 5,800. If you need a cheap running back, I definitely like him against Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I also, last week, I know I told people to get on the Kerry Robinson train. I'm staying on it at least for this week. I expect a big bounce back from New Orleans. They're due for a big game. And Kerry is due for a touchdown. He has not scored since he's taken over the role since Ingram's gone down. I expect that to change. He's still 4,900 on FanDuel. Mm-hmm. And to me, that pushes him into must-start territory for that kind of coin. So I'm definitely on the Kerry Robinson trade.
Now, the next position I'm looking at here is the quarterback position, and here's an interesting one for me. I lived and died basically by the Denver Broncos last year when I took my league, and Peyton Manning obviously was a big reason for my success last year. Denver and Peyton Manning specifically is going against an Arizona defense that is, you know, arguably one of the best secondaries out there, with Patrick Peterson and company out there. What do you guys suggest when it comes to whether or not going to get Peyton Manning, starting Peyton Manning? I know it's hard to even contemplate benching somebody of his caliber, but some defenses, they don't match up well. Some defenses are really just that good. And I'm not gonna say that the Arizona defense is just that good, but they are. I would say arguably at least a top five defense this year so far, and especially what they've done to their opponents, such as the 49ers. What do you guys expect point wise? Is Peyton Manning a good start, or is somebody, or are you better off starting somebody if you have a really good backup, or should you stay away from them in the FanDuel?
I'll take this one. I got to be honest with you. Call it a hunch, but I think this is going to be an absolute annihilation of the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think this one's going to be close. And if I got a Broncos skill player, I'm starting them. I don't think you even consider fading Peyton Manning. I would start him in a heartbeat, and I'd do it with confidence. I'd start Demaryius Thomas against Patrick Peterson. And most of all, I think this is going to be Monty Ball's coming out party. You know, we haven't seen what everybody kind of expected, that first round value. I think this is the week where he struts the stuff. Broncos coming off a loss in a bye week, I think that they're primed to explode. I think we're going to see some fireworks.
I don't think it's going to be a blow like Chet does, but Manning's a must start. You can't really sit him. The only matchup you can even debate him if you have a good backup is against Seattle, but he's a must start. I wouldn't go after him in FanDuel. He's pretty expensive. He's the second highest behind Luck, but I wouldn't pay for him. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think Denver wins by maybe 7, but I don't think anywhere near a blowout.
Now, Yahoo has Aaron Rodgers number one for this weekend, and I'm not going to argue that against Minnesota's defense. I just have a feeling that Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson are going to get a lot of points. Number two they have on this list is Drew Brees, who this team has suffered a lot. They're 1-3, and they're going against a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that I, at this point, I don't even know what to say about Tampa Bay. As 2 weeks ago, we watched them lose like 52-14 to Atlanta, and then this last week we watched them come back and beat the Steelers like 17-16 and shut down that Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Drew Brees is this going to be the coming out party of the year, and New Orleans get things going in the right direction, and we see Drew Brees and company get a lot of points, or can this Tampa Bay defense ruin some fantasy league owners' heart feelings this week and keep Drew Brees to a minimum?
I agree with Rodgers. Definitely the number one. He looked like the best quarterback last week. Drew Brees has scared me. I don't know what his issue is. He hasn't looked great at all. He's still a top five quarterback, but I wouldn't play him in FanDuel. If you have him in your regular league, I'd start him. I actually like for a top three quarterback this week, I like Ben Roethlisberger against Jacksonville. Him and Antonio Brown look like the best tandem in the league right now. I mean, every pass they throw to, he throws to him, he's catching it. So I think he has another huge week, maybe two TDs, and I think Roethlisberger tears up the Jacksonville Jaguars just like everyone else has.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I do think the Saints are, you know, they're frustrating because we don't really know how good they are. You know, we're used to seeing this prolific offense, this high-profile quarterback, and an explosive play every game, and that's just not what we've gotten this year. And it's tough to say that they can't still do it, but, you know, it's almost like the New England Patriots. Like, where are you? Like, what are you doing, you know? So I'm not counting Drew Brees out for a four-touchdown day, but I don't – you know, I think there are more comfortable options. Like Kev said, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, against Jacksonville, he's gonna put up two or three touchdowns for sure at a lower cost than Drew Brees. So I think you could roll the dice on Brees if you got him for sure on a fantasy team for the season. But on daily fantasy, probably not worth the money at this point until he shows that he can produce at the Drew Brees level that we're used to see.
Now, last week I threw out some names that we don't talk about a lot, and that was mainly focused on the Cincinnati Bengals, and they've had a 3-0 start and a decent season, and I'm obviously not the only one that thinks that Cincinnati can go into New England and beat the Patriots. But another name that I don't see on this list, and I'm looking at the top 11, I've not scrolled down, I'm sure he's not too far below that, but a name that's not still getting a lot of talk, and I know interceptions is kind of a focal point when I bring this name up. But the weapons that they have with Jacoby Jones, with Torrey Smith, and with Steve Smith Sr., and a running game that has not slowed down any, so they have a well-balanced attack, is Joe Flacco at this point not a name, a household name in the fantasy league that's getting a lot of attention? And second of all, is that somebody in the FanDuel league that is a good bang for their buck? I'm not sure what the value is over there. But I'm assuming if there's still not a lot of talk and he's not even in the top 12 here on the Yahoo Sport, I'm assuming that FanDuel has probably got him at a decent price. How's the Flacco train rolling these days?
Chet, you want to take it?
Yeah, sure. I'll take this one. You know, the past 4 or 5 years, I've always veered away from Flacco. You know, I've never been a big fan of Flacco. He's always had this cannon of an arm, weapons, great weapons, and a team that can win. But the fantasy numbers just haven't been there. And this year, he's been a competent quarterback. He's produced above average Flacco numbers. So, you know, I think you could take a flyer on him. I think there's worse options out there. But I think there's better options, and I think there's better value if you're playing daily fantasy. And, you know, you could probably count on a couple touchdowns. They did lose, obviously, Ray Rice. Their running game hasn't really missed a beat, though. They got a pretty good offensive line over there. Steve Smith is lighting the world on fire. I think I don't think that it would be that bad of a move to start him. Like I said, there's better options, but for the price, for the value you're getting him at, I think go ahead, roll a dice. You know, you never know what you're going to get. You could get a 4-touchdown game out of him.
Yeah, Steve Smith has really, I think, elevated his play. I mean, now that before it was Torrey Smith, Jacoby Jones was more of just a deep threat. He's just fast. So before it was just Torrey Smith. But now that they have both Smith, I mean, it sucks that he lost Pitta because Pitta was definitely one of his favorite targets. But he still has looked a lot better. he's been doing pretty well fantasy. He's right in the middle. He's averaging 17 points on FanDuel. He's 7,500, which is right in the middle. I mean, same, like, right around where like Eli, Romo are. And he's not a terrible play, especially since Indy, they're not the best pass defense that falls through on him. I mean, they faced Jacksonville, and last week they had a gimme too. Who did they face last week? They faced Tennessee. So they've had two easy matchups. So I think he definitely is worth, if you're looking at somewhat cheap, you could go him. But if you're looking at to play a real cheap FanDuel quarterback, watch Teddy Bridgewater's status. I would play, if he's playing, I'm playing him. I was really impressed by everything he did last week against Atlanta. So I think he could definitely, on a Thursday night game, I think he could definitely step up and throw on Green Bay.
Yeah, I was going to ask that because that Green Bay defense has never really been – to me, Green Bay has been one of those teams that they prefer to outscore their opponent versus stop their opponent. They live and die on whether or not their offense can outscore every team in the league. And that was going to be a question. There's one more name I want to throw out, and I'm going to let you guys run with it on the category of quarterbacks. You mentioned his name already, and that's Eli Manning. They started off 0-2, and now they've gone on a two-game win streak. He was phenomenal against Washington, and I believe he had four touchdowns and rushed for a touchdown. Is he starting to get back in the good graces of the fantasy owners, or is he still somebody that I know 1 week we can watch him throw 200 yards and five interceptions, the next week we can watch him throw 400 or 500 yards and five touchdowns. You really, and him and Tony Romo are kind of the same boat. You really don't know what you're going to get. But 2 weeks in a row of them putting a victory up and him starting to look back into championship form, is a fantasy owner starting to jump back on that bandwagon?
I like Eli this week. Atlanta sucks on the road. To put it bluntly, they're a terrible road team. And this is in New York. He's got his red zone guy now in Donnell. If you watch the game, I mean, Donnell, he was just lobbing everything up to Donnell in the red zone. And Victor Cruz is finally becoming himself. Reuben Randall looks really good. And they have that rookie Parker. They have a good run game. New York, I think, is going to get their stuff together. They're a weird team. They over the past few years, they'll start off slow, and then they'll just win a bunch of games in a row. They're a weird team. I think Eli is finally getting this offense, and I think he's not a bad play for 7,300 against Atlanta, especially having Atlanta be the road team, who they're just terrible on the road, as you saw last week when they faced Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, I agree with Kev here. I think this one has all the makings of a shootout, Atlanta and New York. Neither of them are excellent defenses and very competent quarterbacks. I like Eli Manning for the money. However, I think there are better plays, like Roethlisberger, as we stated. I do like Manning. I like his weapons more. You know, I'd feel confident rolling out Victor Cruz, maybe even Donnell, although a three-touchdown performance is hard to follow up. He could hit value. It's going to be interesting to see, how this game unwinds. You know, I could see it being a blowout on either team, and I could see it being a shootout down to the fourth quarter. So, roll them out, roll the dice. That's what Chet says.
any other quarterbacks you guys want to throw in there? Sleepers, potential bust. Any other thing you guys want to throw out there in the quarterback category?
I'll go out and say I love Philip Rivers this week. He's probably my number two quarterback behind Rodgers. I think it goes Rodgers, Rivers, and Roethlisberger. I love Rivers this week going against the Jets, whose secondary just is terrible. It's in San Diego. I think Rivers has another big week. He's finally, him and Keenan Allen got their stuff together last week, and they look good. Eddie Royal looks good. Antonio Gates. I think this is a big week for Rivers against the Jets.
This hurts my soul. This truly does hurt me to say this, but Andy Dalton, he should shred the Patriots. I hope I'm wrong, as rare as that is, but I do think Andy Dalton's primed for a big one.
Wide receiver category, Yahoo has got Antonio Brown as the number one receiver, which you guys have already talked about that, and Roethlisberger being probably the best tandem right now. I know last week you guys talked about Golden Tate and was high on Golden Tate. And I give you guys were right and then wrong. You guys said that Golden Tate would have a good week, but it shouldn't affect Calvin Johnson. Well, Calvin Johnson didn't put up anything, and Golden Tate ran with it, and I want to say 120, 130-something yards, had a great week. They got Calvin Johnson fourth this week against a Buffalo defense that I'm still not sold on. Should we expect Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate to have a great day against this Buffalo team? Or will it be one or the other?
I think they both have a good week. I think Calvin Johnson has more like a week one performance. I think he's too good to be held intact for this long. I think he definitely breaks out. And Golden Tate has looked really good too. He was a great addition in the offseason. He's paying off big for Stafford. I think they both have good weeks this week. It's in Detroit. I think they show up, and I think Stafford gets both in the ball. I could see each of them getting a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Tate's always one of those players. He's good for at least around, you know, 4 or 5 catches, 60 yards, somewhere around there. And Calvin typically is good for 7, 8 yards, 100, or 7, 8 catches, 100 yards. I don't think it'll change as long as Calvin's on the field. He was used as a decoy last game. I do believe that if he's on the field and he's 100% or anywhere close to it, anywhere above, you know, 50%, I feel confident playing him. I think he's a threat to score every time he's on the field. So I like them both this week.
Yeah, I think last week the reason Calvin got shut down is Rex Ryan's one of the best defensive guys, coaches in the league. I think he planned his whole game plan around Johnson and said, if we're going to get beat, it's got to be someone else. I mean, that's a Rex Ryan move. Rex Ryan's, I love him as a defensive coach. Don't really like him in general because I hate the Jets, but defensively, he's a genius. And that was definitely their strategy. Shut down Calvin. If they need to beat us, they got to use someone else. And that's what happened. But I think Calvin definitely bounces back this week.
Now, A.J. Green is 7th on their list, and they're going against, obviously, the Patriots' secondary. Is the 7th best receiver to pick up this week, is that a fair value, or do you guys think, with your guys' secondary, speaking of the Patriots, do you think that A.J. Green will prove to be worth more than a 7th rank going into Week 5?
Kevin, what's that going?
Yeah, this is kind of a tough one because I still don't know what the hell the Patriots are doing with Revis. If they're ever going to pick a week where they go, Revis, you're on him, almost like what they did with Tlaib last year when they had him, when they used Tlaib perfectly. They said, you're on him if you're going to shut him down, like when he shut down Jimmy Graham. But they're not using Revis right. This is a perfect week for them to go, so we can actually see what Revis really is. I want them to put Revis on A.J. Green, and we can see exactly how good Revis still is. And if that's the case, I think Revis can cover A.J. Green still. I still think he's a top corner, but that's why A.J. Green's a little risky this week, because I don't know how the Patriots are going to use Revis. If they're going to keep playing this zone coverage, then I think A.J. Green's going to tear us up.
To me, I don't think A.J. Green is really coverable. I think you could put two guys, you know, you could put your two best guys on him, and he's going to find a way to beat you. He's going to get his. I don't think Revis can stop him. I don't think Sherman can stop him. I don't think anybody can stop him. The question is, can we, you know, speaking for New England, how are we going to score on this Cincinnati defense? But I digress. As far as A.J. Green is concerned, I play him. I think he's going to put up pretty big numbers. Marvin Jones out again. Green is the centerpiece of that offense, and he's an uncoverable monster. I don't care who's on him. Let's go Pats. That's what I will say.
Yeah, I expect Cincinnati to run all over us. I expect them to use the run to absolutely destroy us. We can't. Our defense was. We were horrible stopping the run last week. I think Jeremy Hill and Gio are going to run all over us. I don't know exactly how A.J. Green's going to do. I disagree with Chet. I think if you give Revis the chance to play man on him, I think he can cover him. I mean, obviously Green's going to get his catches, but I think Revis can limit him. I think he can shadow him and limit his success against us.
I hope you're right.
excuse me. There's another name I want to throw out there, and I want to let you guys kind of run with the wide receiver categories. There's a little bit more receivers than there is when it comes to the quarterback and running back position. They got Julio Jones, number two, and you guys both have noted that you guys have your concerns against Atlanta going into the New York, playing this Giants defense. It is a number two ranking by Yahoo Sports, a fair value for Julio Jones, and how is he valued in FanDuel, and is he worth a grab this week, or is that somebody that they need to stay away from, especially how Atlanta performs on the road?
Julio, I believe Julio is a must play. I think this week, you know, last week was the first week he recorded less than seven catches. That is an anomaly for him. He's a receiving monster. You can't cover the guy. They have other weapons. Try and double him, and Roddy White's going to burn you. I think Julio's going to have upwards of nine catches, 100-plus yards, and a touchdown or two. So I pay for him, and I don't care what his price is. I'm paying for him. I'm playing him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, Atlanta's a horrible road team, but I think it's more their defense that's affected by it. Their defense sucks on the road. I'm not sure why. So I think it's going to be a shootout. I think Eli's going to be able to throw on them, and I think they're going to be able to throw on the Giants. And Julio Jones, I think, the next closest thing to like a Calvin. He's really uncoverable. He's a freak athlete. He's fast. He's tall. He's been tearing it up this year. Like, when he's healthy, he's pretty much, I think, right behind Calvin as the second-best receiver. So I definitely – I don't know if I'd go after him in FanDuel. He's pretty expensive, but I think in normal lineups, I think he's a must-start.
Other receivers that you guys, like I said, this the receiver pot is a lot bigger than the rest of them, and we can go all day, and I can name receivers all day long. But give me a few receivers that you guys feel that are must-grabs this week in FanDuel, or must-starts in regular other leagues, and who do we need to steer clear of this week?
I think Antonio Brown's the number one. I think against Jacksonville, is the worst team, second worst. I think the Raiders are the worst, but I think Antonio Brown is, if you're going to go for a really high-priced receiver, I think you go Antonio Brown. I think he's the number one in my book. I also like Calvin Benjamin this week against Chicago, who has pretty much shown that they can't cover the pass. For a cheap one, this is kind of a weird one, but for the Thursday night game, Jarius Wright. He was Teddy Bridgewater. This is if Teddy Bridgewater plays, by the way. But if Teddy Bridgewater plays, I like Jarius Wright. He was his main target in that the last game against Atlanta, and it's because they were second string. They were on the second string the second string team together. So they have a lot of chemistry practicing together and everything. And, I mean, that was his number one guy he was looking for. And he looked really good. He was fast. Patterson wasn't doing anything. They almost used Patterson like a decoy. And Wright was the one getting all the catches. And Wright's as cheap as you can get in FanDuel. He's $4,500. So if Bridgewater plays against a Green Bay defense that isn't anything special, I like Jarius Wright as a real cheap receiver play.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's actually a really good sleeper to call out there. But for me, I think I look at New Orleans again, and I'm thinking Brandon Cooks. You know, you watch this guy in college. He didn't go – well, he didn't really go one game without putting up a big play, but he is long overdue for a big play. I think he could take a screen 80 yards to the house. I think he's going to do it soon. It's this week or the next. I think this is the week. They're due for a win. I love Brandon Cooks to get a bunch of targets this week, and to maybe break a big play for the end zone. So I'm definitely playing Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, the only other thing I would do is keep an eye on Andre Johnson. He didn't practice today. He's injured. He left last week's game in the fourth quarter. And if he doesn't go, I like DeAndre Hopkins more than I liked him before. I mean, Hopkins is still a good play even if he Johnson plays. But without Johnson, Hopkins is going to be the guy. He has three TDs in out of the four games this year. So Hopkins has been a real stud, and I think if Johnson sits, I really like Hopkins. I think he's 6,900, so
yep.
I like that play, too.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Defensively, who for those that participate in leagues that involve defenses, and I'm assuming FanDuel, you still got to get a defense. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure on that. If that's the case, what defenses do you guys like this week?
I like Cincinnati against the Patriots. It's sad to say, but I don't see us being able to block their defensive line. I think they're going to sack us. I think they're going to pressure Brady. Brady has no one to throw to. Our offensive line is in shambles. So, I mean, it sucks to say, but I like them. I also like the Chargers against the Jets. For a little bit cheaper, I guess. Actually, they're actually right in the middle on FanDuel. But the Steelers, defense against the Jaguars is pretty obvious. So you can just fill in whatever defense goes up against them. And the Steelers' defense is, they looked really bad at the beginning, but they've definitely improved a little, so they don't look too bad now. So I think you can play Pittsburgh, too, with confidence.
Yeah, you know, those are two of the defenses I was going to throw out there. Unfortunately, Cincinnati, you know, their defense is as close to a matchup-proof defense as you're going to get outside of maybe Seattle. You know, they continue to put up points and play excellent defense with an excellent front seven. And we've proven time and time again that the Patriots cannot block the pass rush. So I'm a little scared, to say the least. I do like San Diego as well. As far as Pittsburgh is concerned, you know, Bortles has actually shown me something. I'm not so keen on playing a defense against Bortles, especially if it's an underwhelming unit like Pittsburgh. However, you know, he is a rookie. He's bound to make mistakes. We'll see how that one goes. I could see that going either way. I could see a close game or a blowout, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, let me also add, if for people who make a FanDuel lineup out there, if you're actually, like, don't have a lot of money for a defense, say you're going under 5,000, I like Cleveland against Tennessee. Locker's coming back. He's been absolutely horrible this year. Tennessee has been getting crushed every week. So I like Cleveland. And then another kind of odd one is, most people wouldn't do it, is it's a little bit riskier, but I think the Rams against the Eagles. The Eagles didn't look too good last week. Their offensive line was having trouble. They're getting pressure. And the Rams, like I said earlier, the Rams have a great offensive line. I mean, a defensive line. So they're definitely going to get pressure to Foles. And I could see them, you know, maybe getting a few sacks and some turnovers. So the Rams wouldn't be a terrible play either.
You kind of answered the question, but I'm going a little bit more in depth with that. At this point, I've watched the Cleveland Browns play three games, and they're 1-2, and all three of their games have come down to 3 points or less. At this point, is there a Cleveland Brown player that you would actually start on your fantasy league team going into week five?
I'd probably go, if I was going to start anyone at this point, I think you got to go on Andrew Hawkins. He's been their most consistent guy so far. And with Jordan Cameron, he's supposed to be playing the full game this week. He's coming back off injury still. But with Cameron still iffy, we don't know what we're going to get from him. And then Tate's coming back too, supposedly. So we still don't know what we're going to get out of him. So, I mean, if you're going to start anyone, I guess the only one I would think of is Andrew Hawkins or their defense.
I'll tell you what, ask me that question in week 12, I think it is. Week 12 when Josh Gordon's back and Johnny Manziel's under center. Then we'll see if we have a different answer for you.
That's fair enough. All I can ask is that my team is actually being competitive. Yes, it sucks. We're 1-2 and on the receiving end of too many losses, but at least we've been competitive. 3 points to the Steelers.
You'll get a big win
by
week.
3 points to the Saints, and then lost 3 points or less to the Baltimore Ravens. I think that was the overtime game. So
hey, I wouldn't start many Pats either. I wouldn't start many Patriots. So.
It's all fair. Hey, it does not hurt my feelings none. I hardly even pick my team in football pools. I'm picking them this week, and if they would have won 2 weeks ago against Baltimore, that might have changed things for me. I did pick them, and, you know, obviously it came very close. I think that they can go into Tennessee and win. So I probably wouldn't start anybody. If I had a Cleveland Brown, I probably wouldn't even have a Browns player. I might have their defense, though. I had their defense on and off last year trying to rotate around the Denver, especially on the bye week. And then as we got closer later in the season and and they were kind of sealed into the playoffs. Nothing should change for next week. I did become somewhat annoyed. I did pick up a different kind of bouncing gig, which is just Friday and Saturday night at this point. So that is not changing anything.
Nice. Congratulations.
Um, Thank you. Now I need to find something that's going to be a little more lucrative. It's just a kind of a band-aid on a bleeding situation. But at least it does not interfere with anything to this point. So next Wednesday night should be a go for us. There should be. I don't see nothing changing between now and then. I want to thank both of you guys very, very much for coming on. Like I said many times, I really, really enjoy having the opportunity to do this on Wednesday nights. It has really become one of my more favorite, and I know it's not proper English, but more favorite shows to do. Hopefully we'll be able to continue doing this, and hopefully things one way or another pan out, and we can further discuss other things. As I am frantically trying to get things together and make this continuously move forward, not only at our end, but with our partnership here. Before you guys jump off, I want to give you guys an opportunity real quick, one, to plug your guys' Twitter again, plug your guys' site, and also remind them about your guys' giveaway.
Yeah, so thanks for having us on again. We both definitely appreciate it. It's really good for us, and we're PPR Fantasy Talk, like we said earlier. Follow us on Twitter. We're doing a giveaway, 1,000 followers. All you have to do is retweet us, and you're entered the giveaway. It's the tweet is on our, it's pinned on our Twitter. So if anyone out there listening is following us, definitely retweet that. And once we hit 1,000, we're going to give one the sweatshirt away. There's a picture of it with the pinned tweet. And another thing, we're trying to add a forum section onto our site so that people can come on Saturdays, Sundays, during the game, and chat. So we can have, they want to ask questions, not only will we answer it, but we can have the community, other people on the site can talk about it. So we're trying to get that going. We just opened it up on the website the other night. So definitely trying to get some people on there. And, we'll be updating the rankings by the game time tomorrow for the week. And we'll have the FanDuel. We usually don't do the FanDuel. We usually don't include the Thursday games in our FanDuel, but I know a lot of people out there do, so that's why we talked about the Minnesota and Green Bay. But we'll have FanDuel lineup up very soon.
Well, I once again had a very enjoyable night. Definitely looking forward to next Wednesday night, and definitely looking forward to having some conversations with you. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to tweet you send you a message after the show if I remember what I was going to ask you. Definitely looking forward to having some conversations throughout the week, and definitely looking forward to next Wednesday's show. You guys take care, and you guys enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot. We much appreciate it.
Yes, sir. That was the guys over at PPR Fantasy Talk. That was Chet and Kevin as we do a one-hour show on Wednesday nights be able to talk fantasy football, and it is like I told them, and you know, I started off the show. This has become one of my favorite shows of the week, so I definitely love doing this. I got to do another shout out before we wrap things up. I got to thank Chip Ganassi Racing. I did get to go to their Sound Garage event at Kyle Larson, Dylan Kalinziski, Sage Carmen. Or Karam, however you pronounce his last name, and Cassidy Pope, the country singer out there, and they took an opportunity to put the article that I wrote actually for my page, for the 110nationsports.com site, and they put it on their site. I just happened to see it. So I want to shout out and thank Chip Ganassi Racing not only for inviting me to this event and giving me the opportunity, but also for publicizing the piece that I wrote about the event. It means a lot to see them be able to do that for us. So I got to thank them. Also got to make sure that I thank Monterey's Mexican Restaurant, TopBet.com, Digital Throttle, Optimal Fusion, Peak Products, Yard Barker, and a real big special shout-out to NASCAR In Gear. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, they gave me an invite to Media Day out at the Hall of Fame today with the 12 Chase contenders. It had a great, great day. As a matter of fact, I got here about 45 minutes before the show, and I left at 11 o'clock this morning. So that tells you kind of day that I've had. It was an enjoyable day, and I got to make sure I thank them very deeply. Don't forget, normally the 110 Nation Sports Show is on from Sunday to Tuesday from 9 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. We have the fantasy show that you guys are watching now on from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And then tomorrow we debut the 110 Nation Presents Q&A with Mr. CJ Sports. Yes, I'm going to be taking questions that are posted to me or questions that are out there in the sporting world and have a show from 12 to 1 and answer those questions. But I want to thank everybody once again for tuning in. Had a great time. Make sure you guys check out the site over www.110nationsports.com. Make sure you guys catch all the shows, replays over at www.the110nationsportsshow.com. You guys have a great evening. Make sure you guys tune in at 12 o'clock tomorrow for the lunch show, and you guys enjoy the rest of your night.